It's good to be here again at this church to thank the Lord for the privilege of coming and being among His children. I was hoping to be hearing Brother John first, but all of us ministers do that. What we really truly hope is that the Lord is in the matter.
Amen.
If the Lord's in the matter, no matter who preaches, what order, how long, any of those things. But we trust and pray and are thankful to be able to come out of the cold and dark world in which we live to gather together with those of like faith and order, those who experience the same things. This morning made mention of how it is that the gospel works in our lives, and that being born of the Spirit doesn't mean that we understand all the gospel truths. And in fact, just as when we're born naturally in this world, we come forth and we don't know who Mama is, and we don't know who Daddy is, but we feel their touch. We know where the love comes from. And so it is with us as God's little children in this world that's so contrary to God and desires to teach us so much that's contrary to God, that when we come forth born of the Spirit of God, we're just little babes in Christ. We're born of His Spirit. We're endued with the Spirit of God. And that brings forth a spontaneous love of God that is ever present in our hearts. But God has so designed that we should learn of Him, that we should believe on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we should trust in Him as we sojourn along life's pathway. So there's a heartfelt belief of God that springs forth, and to those that have that love of God, and that faith and that working of the Spirit, we are instructed then to trust in the Lord, to follow Him, and to learn of Him. So being born of the Spirit does not cause one to automatically know all there is. Not that any of us know all there is to know, but even of the things that are revealed, we don't suddenly just know. Not that the Lord can't provide that, but normally we grow and grow and grow, and even the Apostle Paul understood that he was still growing in Christ and his ministry. Some scripture on my mind this afternoon. I ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you. It's found in the Gospel of John. Seems like the last little while I haven't been able to get out of that. Not that I necessarily want to. It's, you know, whatever the Lord leads us with, we want to go there. In Gospel of John, chapter 21, I want to begin at verse 15. It says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. This, the last verses of the Gospel of John, and of course this is after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and he has shown himself to the disciples several times, and here at this time they had, you know, gone out fishing and had caught nothing. And when they came in early in the morning, Jesus was there on the shore and told them to put the net down on the right side of the ship. And when they did, they could hardly bring in the fishes. And yet the net did not break. And they drawed them in. And when they got to shore, the Lord was there with fish of his own already on the fire. And they died. And that's what led up to what here, and it says, So when they had dined, then Jesus saith to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? And as I read in your hearing, you know that he asked him this question three times. I can't help but think about the three denials of Peter.
Right.
As our Lord and Savior was taken away to be judged in order to be crucified.
Yep.
And there came those that were out and around Peter there. Remember Peter, the Lord had foretold, all of you will forsake me this night. And Peter said, I'll never leave you, though I should die with you. And I believe that Peter, in his heart, in the sense that, as well as he knew himself, he thought he wasn't going to desert the Lord.
Exactly.
That regardless of what happened, even if I should die with thee, I would be more than willing to go there. And no doubt that was Peter's sincere feeling at that time when he said that. And our Lord told him that before the cock could crow, that he would deny him. And three times, as our Lord and Savior was brought in, was in the hall there, and being questioned, and Peter stood without, warming himself by the fire. Those that were there around about came and said that you're his disciple. And he denied that he knew him once, then twice, and the third time even cursed and said, I know not the man. And then when the cock crew, Peter remembered the words of our Lord and Savior. And he went out and he wept bitterly over the things that had taken place. Every time we deny our Lord and Savior, no matter in what sense it is, in what way it is, we're going to be weeping. And many times, very bitterly, over our denials of our Lord and Savior. You know, We could easily say, I'd never say I know not the man. But the truth is that every time we cave in to the temptation, every time that we give way or fall away to sin, whether knowingly and especially, or whether unknowingly and especially, if knowingly, that's what we're saying is, I know not the man. And we're saying that Jesus is not a part of who we are. And we all fall into that. And so when we think about Peter and his denials under the distress that was there, remember, they just took his Lord and Savior away. They were there deciding what they were going to do with him, which eventually would be crucify our Lord and Savior. And in a very natural sense, the disciples understood that being associated with him was a dangerous thing to be. And we see in the world in which we live that oftentimes, perhaps not in the sense of life or death, but we find that being associated with our Lord and Savior is oftentimes a dangerous place to be in this world if we're looking to fit into this whole world. And so Peter denied those three times. And we need to always be mindful that just as Peter denied his Lord those three times, that you and I can and will many times in our life. And if we were placed in the same position, there's no doubt but what many of us, in fact all of us, if not upheld by the grace of God, would fall away. And yet he went out and he wept bitterly. And when Jesus rose from the grave, he said to, I believe it was Mary Magdalene, and I believe Mark's gospel, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I go before them to Galilee. You ever think about what a strong consolation those words, and Peter, would have been to Peter at that time in his life? Sometimes we read over those things and we don't think about the significance of, and our Lord included that for a reason, that Peter needed to understand that he was still loved of the Lord, and he was still a disciple of the Lord, but as our Lord had said he would fall, he did. And as our Lord has said that you and I will fail, so will we fail. And I can't help but think that when Peter was being asked this question, lovest thou me more than these, and that it had to run through his mind, those three denials. And he said, yea, Lord, I love thee. Thou knowest that I love thee. Even to the point where it began to grieve him that the Lord kept asking over and over again. What if the question was asked to us today? And do we love our Lord more than these? More than these that are gathered here today? Do we love the Lord more than the family that we live with and are around and love every day of our lives? Do we love the Lord more than the county, state, or national government in which we live? Do we really love Him more than the world? And that's a serious question. Would we really be able to forsake everything that we have and follow Him? And what he's saying here to Peter is, lovest thou me? He's, so to speak, putting the pressure on him, so to speak, because there's a long journey coming for Peter that he really doesn't understand anything about, or fully about at this point in time, of the things that are about to come his way in his lifetime, and has reminded him that as he has denied him, that he needs to love him most especially, and above all things, even life itself. Now, Peter became grieved that our Lord asked him. And each time he said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And as a minister of the gospel, that was going to be his place, that was going to be his lot, to feed them the word of God. But regardless of who we are and what our gifts may be in this life, we can feed sheep, whether it's the written word of God being preached, or whether it's food that's on the table, or whether it's the supplying of anything that anyone needs in this old life. And especially to be willing to give of ourselves all that we have, that we may provide for God's little children. And the instruction is very simple: just feed my sheep. And he goes on and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest." In other words, when you were a young man, before the Lord and Savior came into his life, Peter was a fisherman and he lived a fisherman's life. He girded himself, he took care of himself, and strengthened himself and went wherever he would. In other words, whatever suited him, that's what he did. For the most part. He said, "But when thou shalt be old, and thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not."
Right.
In other words, when he was young, he was felt free to go and do as he felt was good. But as an old man, and really from then on, even before then on, another would gird him with the strength, with the clothing, with the things that he had need of. Another would gird him and carry him in places that he wouldn't go by nature. Do you ever think about who it was that first preached to the Gentiles? Who it was there on the day of Pentecost? When the church was endued with power. We think about Peter in a number of times in his life that he was reproved by our Lord and Savior. And sometimes you hear people talk about Peter as though he was some kind of sub-disciple or something. And yet when we think about the things that the Lord wrought through this man, the first to preach there on the day of Pentecost, the first to preach to the Gentiles and to baptize Gentiles and to recognize their need to come into the church as the Lord had shown him, that which is, seems common in the eyes of men when God is cleansed, it's not common at all. And all the way to his death, the Apostle Peter would continue in service to God. And his death would end up on a cross as a martyr for his Lord and Savior's cause. And another, "You should stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thou whither thou wouldest not." In other words, as God's little children, we need to understand that we're not able to follow our Lord and Savior on our own strength. And we're not able to go all the places that we ought to go in our Lord and Savior's name because we're someone special or have some strength. But there is one who girds us. There's one who strengthens us. There is one who catches us. And every time when we would fail. And carries us in places that we wouldn't go by nature at all. And this, of course, he spake, it says, signifying what death he should glorify God. And he saith unto him, follow me. You know, Peter's instruction was to understand that he was going to follow his Lord throughout his life, and he was going to suffer many times on the behalf of his Lord and Savior, and ultimately end up on a cross for the cause of his Lord and Savior. And he says, follow me. Sometimes when we have someone speak ill of the things that we believe or who we are as a people, living in a country where persecution of people has largely been diminished. It may not always be like that. It wasn't always like that. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt when people say things about us. But what we need to understand is that we're to follow him. Whether it's good times or bad, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're down in the valley, we need to follow him. Whether it's unto death or whether it's not, we need to follow him. And then Peter, turning about and seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to the Lord, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And he's worried about what John is going to be doing. In other words, the Lord has just told him that follow me, it's going to be rough,
yeah,
but I'm going to be there, and I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to guide you. But he's not going to die in old age,
no,
you know, on a soft pillow somewhere in the ease of life.
Nope.
He's going to suffer immensely for the cause of his Lord and Savior. And so Peter looks at him, and you know, John, like Peter, was one of those that was always there whenever the Lord revealed something that didn't go to all of the disciples, went to a few. John was one of them that was there with Peter. And he says to him, what shall this man do?
Yeah.
Doesn't that become a problem in our lives sometimes?
It does.
When we become concerned about what brother or sister so-and-so is going to do. What's going to be their life? How is things going to be for them as compared to me? When in reality, our full responsibility is to follow him. And wherever he carries us and whatever he strengthens us to do in this whole life. Not to follow the crowd. I like the example of our Lord and Savior. You ever notice that when the multitudes were gathered around him and when they were fairly in line with what the scriptures taught, how things seemed to go well and everything was okay, and then at other times there would be in the crowd groups, sometimes the largest group, who would refuse to have anything to do with the things he was teaching and would sharply try to find some way to snare him in his words. You ever notice that our Lord and Savior didn't waffle back and forth like a politician looking to see what public opinion's all about? But whatever the Lord said was that which his Father had told him. And we as God's children should desire not to please the world that's round about us. You know, as a minister, sometimes it's not our responsibility to please the church. It might be surprising to some people. Sometimes things may need to be done or said that aren't pleasant and aren't fun and aren't enjoyable. They're still there and they're still real. And as a church, a body of people who attends to their own membership, sometimes things need to be said that are unpleasant.
Right.
But still it's necessary for the good of the body and the cause of our Lord and Savior. And what happens, what the Lord's will is for your next door neighbor down the road at home, or your brother and sister in the church, is not your or my concern, but we are to follow Him. Knowing this, that He who provided for Peter and Paul and all of the disciples before will provide for you and me Amen. As we have need.
Yep.
If we spend less time concerning ourselves with what everybody else is doing, won't we be more able to focus our time and energies to the extent that we're able to do that upon what the Lord says for us to do? We were talking out in the vestibule about a place that I worked for about 17 years over in Harrisonburg. When I went to work for them, they were the number one connector maker in the world. Not in the state of Virginia or Pennsylvania where they were based, not in the country of the United States, but they made connectors for companies and governments all over the world. And that company doesn't exist anymore. And I and about 400 others, along with others at other plants, lost their jobs. Now, there's a lot of factors that goes into something like that. What could have and would have happened, we have no way of knowing. But you know what one of the problems was that they ran into? They had reached the point where there was nobody that did better what they did, or what we did, if you want to call it that. And then all of a sudden they started looking at number two and what number three was doing. And trying to imitate and trying to do the things that they were doing. And before long, now this took years, but over a period of years, a whole company collapsed and is no more. If we as God's children spend all our time worrying about what's happening in other religious orders, or among other churches, or among those of our brethren, wherever they might be, we've taken our eyes off the Lord. And we're soon going to find ourselves sinking in the sea like Peter did earlier on. If we spend our time concerning ourselves about how we look before the world, now all of us would want to give a good appearance. And we know and understand that. But what I'm saying is if we reach the point that how we're viewed in the world is more important to us than whether or not we're pleasing to the Lord, we're not going to be following Him for very long. You know, there were many of the Pharisees and scribes who believed on our Lord and Savior but refused to profess Him, because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And really, that's what we become when we go down that road. So our Lord said to him, "If I will that he tarry until I come, what is that to thee?" And that's really a message that we all ought to take home. It doesn't matter what happens to the next brother or sister or church or country. We need to follow Him. knowing He provides everything that we have need of in this life and can provide things that you and I never had an understanding that we needed of before. But I want you to notice what happens. It then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. You ever think about how fast the Lord says one thing and somebody else turns it into something else? He just used an example there and said, if I will that he tarry till I come. In other words, if he just tarries around here and doesn't really do anything till I come again, what is that to thee? And all of a sudden the saying goes out throughout the brethren that that brother's not ever going to die. He's going to be here till the Lord comes back again. You see, that's how things like that get started. You know. And it said, yet Jesus said not unto him that he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, what happens with that other disciple doesn't matter at all. We just need to follow our Lord and Savior. And he said, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And he said, there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Sometimes we wonder about why the scripture doesn't explain this or that a little closer, or why it doesn't show this or that or the other thing a little more definitively. The purpose of the scriptures is to be a guide for us, that we should strive to learn about our Lord and Savior and to follow Him in our lives. There's nothing lazier than God's children here on the earth. You make it too easy and we'll be laying around all over the place. We'll be worrying about what the next guy's doing. And we'll be concerning ourselves with all sorts of things that don't have any relevance at all. Because that's what human beings are. And we're sinful creatures and we have a tendency to go there. Follow Him wherever He leads you to go. And pay no care to the world in which we live. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things we have need of in this life will be added to us. May the Lord add His blessings, is my hope and prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wish shall my petition bear, to Him who's true and faithful rest and teach the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids thee see His faith, believe His word and trust His praise, I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for thee. Hour of prayer.
Brother John Nichols, and we'll be with you, Brother John.
It's good to be here. Good to see you all. I said to Brother Forrest, it's an interesting thought. Interesting thoughts that the Lord placed on his heart this afternoon. I was sitting there during the song service, just looking through scripture. And Oh, we'll see where the Lord leads. Pray for me as I stand before you. I had this image in my head. So one day we went to work this week. We're in front of Sister Gladys' building. And this man, don't know who he was, don't know where he came from or where he was headed. And Paul's in front of our car. And I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if Sister Gladys knew what he was doing. He was just looking very curiously in front of the car. And then he just didn't really look up at us. He just crossed the street and kept walking. And Sister Gladys commented, I wonder what his story is. He looked like he could have been older than we were, but sometimes life's trials and troubles make you look older naturally than what you really are.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about that as I was looking through Scripture. And the Lord turned to sinner's thoughts to Acts 10. And many of us know this story about Cornelius. A man that God had touched in a mighty way. But also a man that was unrecognized by the Jews as being a people of God. And we know about the vision. Peter was in a trance. Speaking of Peter. I was in a trance, and so much of this, as Brother Forrest was in the stand, just sort of came flooding through. This is a long story, but I just wanted to start reading a little bit here, starting at verse 34. And read a few verses, and just pray the Lord might bless us with some thoughts. He's already blessed us tremendously today, whether he gives this sinner any thoughts to add to that, or definitely don't want to take away. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And Peter is talking here. And the part that, as Brother Forrest was speaking, when Peter's talking about that through this encounter that God blessed him, it was revealed unto him that God is God. God showeth mercy to whom he will show mercy. It's not, Peter understood that it wasn't what he fought. It wasn't about what the Jews had fought. But it's about a merciful God and what his purpose is in this world that he has created and in those that he has loved with an everlasting love. Now, Peter being sent, Peter didn't go because it was Peter's idea. No, Peter went because it was revealed to him of God that when these men come, go. Just go. And Peter, having been blessed to see how one who Peter thought was alien to the things of God, how God had blessed him to pray to God, and how God had heard those prayers. Why? Because he was one of God's. It is not about what we might see naturally when we look at one to another. We don't know who they are. We don't know whether they'll be of God or whether or not one of God's children. But we know God's children, Scripture tells us, that they are an innumerable number. It is a number though no man can ever number. And I thought it was interesting when Brother Force was talking about after all the Lord had said to Peter, after all that Peter had experienced, there still was that old nature, as it is in us. When we think about all that the Lord has done for us, you know, we think about this hour right here. If you had not been in any of the meetings, Friday night, Saturday evening, or even this morning, but that's just this hour, how the Lord of glory is able to manifest himself in your hearts. How the revealed truth of Almighty God hits that heart with understanding and belief. Why? Because God gave you understanding. He gave you belief. He gave you a faith to live by. The faith of his Son. And the writer says that the faith we live by is the faith of the Son of God, who died for us. That is the faith that we live by. And when Peter says to the Lord, well, what about this man? I mean, you're telling me all that I must endure. Forgetting that this man, as Scripture reveals, if I'm not mistaken, went into the temple with the Lord. This man did. This man did not deny the Lord three times. But Peter did. Now this is to make no differences in the two. But this just as an illustration as to how we ourselves can be. When we consider this man. Or this woman. Or that man. Or that woman. And not consider who we are. You know, brethren, we have a hope. And that hope that we have is a hope that God has given us. When I consider that image that I was having as I was sitting there, I don't have a clue who that man was. Whether he be one of God's own or not, I don't have a clue. He never spake a word. He stood there for a few seconds, as though he was pondering something and looking at something, studying something. And he just walked off. Yes, rugged he looked. Ragged he looked naturally. But who was he really? I may not ever know in this time world. But the thing is, that is not really important that I know who he is. As much as it is important to know who I am. You see, because who I am, who we are, should dictate always how it would be with us. You know, what if this man actually knocked on my door? He could have done that. He could have waited until I got out of the car. He could have done all manner of things. And how would it be in our conversation, brethren? How would we treat this man? You know, when we think about it, when we think about all that the Lord has delivered us from, we don't think about those things, do we? We don't think about that man, do we? That in our heads, we have no part in that. But who is it Scripture says that makes us to differ? What is the difference in those that we see and encounter in this world? What is the difference between us and them? You know, sometimes I think we want them to be more like us. That's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. You see, because if they were more like us, that would mean they're going to be thinking like us, which is not a good thing either. Because oftentimes we don't have. Well, oftentimes we're not blessed to think as we ought to think. Just like Peter in that scripture that Brother Forrest read, in that particular instance, Peter was not thinking as he ought to have been thinking. You know, brethren, when the Lord of glory calls us out, when he calls us out and gives us those hearts of praise, and that we're able, brethren, for the first time to praise the Lord our God, with an understanding, brethren, as to who he is. You know, brethren, even without an understanding, if God has moved into one of his children's hearts and they're standing on the street corner praising God, God is praised. You know, brethren, who are we to say, oh, who is that man and why is he standing on that corner praising God? Who are we? If God has given him a part of praise, then let God be glorified. Let God be praised.
Amen.
And if you're not of a mind to praise God too, then shut your mouths. Have no part in it. Just like that example we have in Scripture where the disciples came and they were complaining about some group. I mean, you know, brethren, we're always, again, want people to praise like we praise. If you're praising like you should be praising, then we'd be glad that they praise at all.
Amen.
You know, brethren, when we think about the tender mercies of Almighty God and how he brings us out of the things in this world, what I mean by bringing us out, I mean, yeah, you still, naturally we're still in it. But he brings us out. He brings us out so that we can see. He brings us out so that we can hear. He brings us out, brethren, so that we realize that this world is not our home. That we're just travelers. We're just traveling through this land longing for a better home. And one sweet day, brethren, when that journey is all over, and we lay this body down, that he who strikes us to the dust will raise us with the crown.
Amen. That's correct.
You know, brethren, we serve a wonderful God. Marvelous is his works, even within the hearts of his children. where he takes that sinner who's vain and wild and makes him as a little child. Do you remember when you were vain and wild? You still am? Yeah, unfortunately, brother, I guess I am too. Even though I don't want to be, I find myself there. And Peter says, of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. What did James say? He was talking about how we treat people. How we would take one with gay apparel and sit in one place. And how we would take another and sit in another place. It ought not so to be. Brethren, if he has given us hearts of praise, he's also given us hearts to love his children. We are to love the brethren because God first loved us. And when we have love for God's children, whoever they might be, let our love not be grounded because they're doing those things that are like the things that we do, or the things that we would have them to do, or the things that make us feel comfortable. You know, brethren, but love them because God loved you. You know, brethren, when we think about, I think about that man, he could be likened unto that man that when David spoke of his son. You know how David had fasted because the child was sick. But yet when the child died, David bathed himself. And his servants couldn't understand that. Well, David says that while he shall not come back to me, one day I shall go to him. And it could be like that for this sinner and that particular man. That one day I shall see him. Not as the old man who stopped and paused in front of my car, but as one of my brethren in the halls of glory, praising the Lord our God. You know, I heard a saying once that says, you know, if God's children can't get along down here, praise be to God, he's not going to let us take that old nature up there with us. That would not be heaven. If I had to live with you the way you are in heaven, can you imagine how bad that would be? Both of us. But Peter says that in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. If God be praised, then why do we question that? Who are we that we would question? It is like it says, Lord, why did you bless this one over there, not me? Oh, Lord, why were you good to that one? Why did you do this for that one and you didn't do that for me? I would say that you should pray, Lord, open my eyes that I might see. You see, because if our eyes are too busy looking elsewhere, we're not looking at the Lord. If our eyes are too busy upon looking upon this earthly life and all those things around us, then our eyes are not fixed upon He who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's able to bless you to walk on water, the water of the trials and troubles that we encounter in this time world, if our eyes are fixed upon Him. We will sink when they're not. And those troubles and trials will consume us. They will overwhelm us. But He's able, brethren, just as He did Peter. Even in those times when we cry out, to reach out, pick us up, and carry us through. That is the love that He has for each and every one of His own. That is the exercising of His love, His power, and His might. He is able to do all things. He is able to deliver us, brethren, in all manner of circumstances in this time world. And Peter went on to preach the gospel, the good news. The good news of what God had done for His people through His Son. When we find ourselves in those difficult spots that you will find yourself in, whether it be this day or tomorrow, remember, brethren, that God has blessed you tremendously in this time world. Take not those blessings for granted. And brethren, all of that He has given unto you, it is truly not for you to contain within yourselves, but is to be shed abroad to those that God bring into your lives. So that you might rest rightly say, even if not verbally, so that others that may hear you, when you see those that are out there, praise the Lord. Praise Him indeed, for He's worthy of our praise. And not think, well, look at them making a mockery of themselves. If God be glorified, brethren, He will bless them, regardless of what you or I think. It ain't about what you think or what I think. It's about, as Peter said here, that which is acceptable in the eyes of Almighty God. And the last I remember and been blessed to understand, neither I or you fit into those shoes. It is but one God, and He reigns supremely in the heavens above and in this earth below. Praise be unto His name, that He might bless us as we sojourn in this time world, that we might walk worthy of our calling. He has called you out and set you apart and declared you to be holy and righteous in His eyes. Let us pray that we might live to that calling. Oh, that we would not be That we would not bring shame to the cause of Christ, but that we might, both in our actions and in our words, bring praise into His holy and righteous name. For He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our all in all. Blessed be His name. Not only in this meeting house, brethren, but blessed be His names in our hearts and upon our lips each and every moment of our lives as we're blessed to sojourn in this earth below. Realizing that one sweet day we'll be blessed to utter our last praise in this time world. And then we will be blessed to praise Him forevermore.
Amen.
Blessed be His name. Pray for one another.
Amen.
And as the Lord moves your heart, pray for me.
Turn to number 50. 50. Appreciate that, Brother John. I'm going to move you to Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. It has been just a delight to be at this meeting, and the Lord has been so good to us. I thank the Lord for all that He's provided this afternoon, and these brethren being with us is a great blessing. We will stand and sing this hymn and publish Open Door of the Church. If there would be one more, I have a desire to unite, follow the Lord in baptism. Tonight with this church or any other sister churches represented, you let your feelings be made known as the Lord would lead you and direct you. Stand and sing number 50, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect delight, visions of rapture have burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story.
This morning and this afternoon and the lunch, dear Lord.
Oh, it's
just so good to be able to be with thy people and hear thy word, dear Lord. It means so much. Dear Lord, we thank you for each and every day. Bless all the ones that were spoke about today with health problems and the things that we have to go through just with this life.
Lord, be with.
Dear Lord, be with us each and every day and make us a little bit better every day, dear Lord. Be with us on the way home. Dear Lord, be with us throughout this life, and dear Lord, take us home to live with thee forever and ever, some sweet day. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Holy in there.
It's good to see
you. Real good. That's a disciple. This being part of that is a disciple.
He done good.
He done good. Thank you.